Okay, now if I could gather us together around the reading of God's Word, and today it's in Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. If I may set the table for you here. Scholarship tells us that it was a custom, and some of you folks in Sunday school may have already come across this, but scholarship tells us that there was a custom during these times where if there was a dinner being given and some well-to-dos or well-known folks of the community attended this particular dinner, then the doors were opened and stragglers, let's say, were not expelled. They were allowed to come in. In fact, some who have experienced this personally write that there are sometimes chairs put along the exterior wall or the interior walls for those who want to come in. Now, the purpose of this was teaching was relatively scarce. They had the synagogue, but there were no Bible studies. Of course, nothing was beamed to them. And so the people of the street, took advantage of every opportunity they had to hear conversations by those they deemed more knowledgeable in Scripture than themselves. They would also perhaps catch up on the political climate of the day. And sometimes, according to those who had actually experienced this firsthand, they would exchange pleasantries. Those that reclined at table would actually exchange pleasantries with those that had come in, catching up on the news of the community as well. And so it wasn't an uncommon thing for guests outside of the guests that were actually reclining at the table to be in the room. And so this woman that is the focus of this particular pericope here today, remember I told you a pericope is a little story. So this little story that's in Scripture here, the woman that's the focus of this little story has come in perhaps as one of those attenders who want to be in the presence. She had heard that Jesus was going to be there. Now also in the Gospel according to Marty, how did this woman begin to react the way that we did? And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But again, just to set the table for you, always remember that Jesus said more than what is recorded in the Scripture. Jesus had a very active teaching ministry, as well as being the Son of God and all of the other things that the Gospels record him doing. And so he would actively teach. Perhaps this woman had heard him teaching one day. She had come in. Something resonated with her, and she felt the weight of her sins. And so when she had an opportunity to actually go and not be thrown out because of her reputation, she took advantage of it. Now, what was her reputation? The Bible just says she was a known sinner. She was known in the community as a sinner. Some people have tried to call her a prostitute. The Bible doesn't say that. It just says she was a known sinful woman. And so with a public reputation, she took a chance and she came into this holy man's house as he reclined at the table with this teacher. And the teacher was her focus. It wasn't the holy man. She wasn't there to hear what he said. She was there to show an expression of thanksgiving to this man that whose words had impacted her life and her heart so deeply. Jesus welcomed sinners into his presence. Your thought for today is this: God is loved dearly by those who know the preciousness of their forgiveness. God, and you can insert Christ in there, is loved dearly by those who know the preciousness of their forgiveness. This woman fit the pattern of that thought for today. She was a public sinner. It wasn't like us who sin in private, and for the majority of the time, only we know what we've done. This was a woman whose reputation was known in the community. She had heard the words, she had felt them touch her, she had been changed in such a way, and she wanted now to express her thanksgiving and love for what had happened inside of her. I want you also to see the contrast in this story. The contrast between the woman who came in off the street, whose public sin was known throughout the community, whose reputation was there, but whose life had been changed, and she felt not only the weight of her sin, but she felt the joy of knowing that there was hope for change within her own heart. Contrasted against the Pharisee, who was a holy man, whose reputation was the exact opposite of this sinful woman, who was perhaps taking in this young teacher. Who is this man? I want to bring him into my house. I want to ask him some questions. I want to kind of feel him out, see who he is. Is he genuine? Is he just another upstart that wants to have an insurrection in our community to make Rome come down upon our heads? Who exactly is this guy? I want to bring him in, feel him out a little bit, because I don't really know who he is. And then also the contrast of Jesus as we continue on in this, as one who welcomes sinners, contrasted against the Pharisee there who wanted to keep sinners at an arm's length. So there's all these different dynamics working within this story. But as this woman comes in, there is a recognition within her. And that recognition there drove her to that deep expression of love. There's clues here about how deeply she wanted to pour out her praise and honor upon the Lord. It mentions specifically an alabaster flask. This was a stone that was quarried. It was named, from what I can find out, after a town in Egypt where it was quarried. It was very well known. It was easy to fashion and work with, but very well known as something that could hold fragrances and perfumes and ointments and anything that was scented, and it held it very well. And it was not cheap. Neither was this ointment that was put upon Christ's feet. I also want to take you to another place in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians, where Paul calls the glory of the woman is her hair. If you remember that passage. Now, what does she do here? Later on in the story, Jesus will confront in a very loving way Simon and tell him, Simon, when I came into your house, you didn't even offer me water for my feet. Now again, setting the table, participants of the meal would come in. It was hospitable for the guests to offer them water, to rinse the dust from their feet, because at this particular type of dinner, they would recline perhaps on a low couch, something with cloth on it. So it was not only a courtesy or a refreshment for their guests, but it was also to keep their furniture from being soiled. The feet were extended back away from the table. The participants of the meal would recline on an elbow and eating with their fingers from the meal. So all that this woman was doing as she came from behind Jesus to really worship him at his feet, so to speak. Ladies, I want you to think for just a moment. And some men may be just as bad. I want you to think for just a moment all of the attention you put upon your hair. Okay? I want you to jump into this story here. I want you to think for just a moment all the attention you put upon your hair. I love all of you, but some of you can be on your deathbed and you got to make that appointment, right? So all this attention that you put upon your hair. Now what would it be like? Jesus tells us no water was offered for his dusty feet that came into this place. All of us who live in this part of the world have seen dusty and dirty feet. You have had them in your lifetime. What happens when drops of water fall on dirty and dusty feet? You see little rivulets being formed of mud all over those feet, do you not? Well, this is what was happening there. And I know in this part of the world, you can get a clear image of that because you've been there. And so this woman fell at Jesus' feet, and the outpouring of love and emotion for what had happened to her because of his teaching was now coming out of her, and her tears fell at such a rate upon those dusty feet that those little rivulets were starting. And then she felt that she had nothing to offer him to make matters better after she felt she had made them worse but her hair. And so she took her hair and she wiped those rivulets of water from his feet. Now, I want you ladies especially to imagine that for a moment. What kind of emotion would it take for you to do that thing? What kind of love would it take for you to do that thing? And this is what was in this woman's heart, the love that was in this woman's heart. To minister here to Jesus in that way. She came to Jesus filled with love, filled of appreciation, and all she could do to offer him was this precious ointment that she had in an expensive alabaster flask, and she used that to rub his feet with it. And she kissed his feet, and she could not control herself but to stay there and continue in that state, continuing to kiss his feet, continuing to rub that ointment and anoint his feet with that as a show of appreciation and love for what she felt for Jesus because of what had happened inside of her. Now I want you to understand the willingness here of Jesus to associate with the unclean and the unlovely. Let's take a little rabbit trail. We've all been there. There are folks that we know that we would be uncomfortable going into their homes, perhaps. There are folks that we know that we would be uncomfortable being seen with them, perhaps. But Jesus wasn't like that. Because he knew his mission was to come and to reach the hearts of sinful people. Now the Pharisees' philosophy was that they were going to disassociate themselves. And some people have said the root meaning of that name Pharisee came from words that mean to be separated out. To separate yourself. And so the Pharisees' religion, if you will, was a physical separation from everything that they thought would make them unclean. Now folks, if we're honest with ourselves, we go about in our world and sometimes in very similar ways because of what I just said. There are those people that we're more comfortable with others than we are with certain other ones that we know. It doesn't matter black or white, it doesn't matter red, yellow, doesn't matter. But there are just some people that we're not comfortable with. We want to separate ourselves from them as soon as possible. Their manners, their habits, whatever it is, just makes us uncomfortable. Well, here was a woman with a known reputation. She came into a Pharisee's house. The Pharisee's reaction was, I can't throw her out because then that would be a bad reflection on me. And so I tolerate her presence. And now what is she doing here at this man's feet in such an emotional state? And in fact, it kind of answers the question that I have about this man, because if he was a true prophet like they said he is, he would know this woman's reputation. He would know who had his feet, and he would be as abhorred by it as I am right now. And so there was a rejection on the part of the Pharisee because of what he saw on the outside of this woman and how he considered his religion to be a religion of separating from everything that he thought would tarnish himself. And here was this young upstart preacher that had been going around, and I can't see how this man can tolerate a woman such as this being anywhere near him. But what Jesus did brought a woman into the kingdom. What the Pharisee was doing was trying to put her away from the kingdom. And I want us all sometimes to ask the Lord to look at our hearts. And I want us all to pray earnestly. And I'm all, you know, see my fingers here? I want us all to pray earnestly about how we project the image of the kingdom to those God allows us to come in contact with. What do they see? What kind of God, what kind of Savior, what kind of Jesus do they see in us? In the way that we speak, in the way that we treat others, in the way that we respond to the stuff of the world. I'm going to maybe get myself in trouble. But I know the current political climate doesn't sit well with everybody. Folks, be careful what you say. Not for political reasons. Be careful that what's in your heart doesn't tarnish the kingdom of God in the eyes of another. Because it's easy to do. There's a lot of emotion in religion and politics, as they say. And so it can be easy to get caught up in expressing disappointment and various other things. The Pharisees were very good at expressing their self-righteousness, their holiness, their desire to be perfect according to the law. Wasn't that what Paul said? He said, I was a Pharisee, I was an eight-dayer, I was baptized, I was circumcised rather on the eighth day, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, my parents were Hebrews, I was a full-blooded Hebrew, he was saying. According to the law, I was perfect, blameless, a Pharisee at heart. Until what? Until God changed that heart. And he became like this woman that came in off the street. And all she could do was show her love and her grace for Jesus by holding on to his feet, because she thought she was only worthy to do that. To show her expression in that way. That Pharisee saw Jesus as an equal. He wasn't humble. He didn't come at Jesus as a person who recognized him as a Savior, because his heart had not been allowed to see the depth of his sin and to hear the words that Jesus was preaching in the same manner that this woman's heart was changed by the Spirit of God and allowed to hear the depth of his preaching. And she came to Jesus with a heart filled with love. And we're called to be like him. And so how does he treat her? He didn't run away from her. He didn't hold her at arm's length. He looked upon her with love. There was a professor at CIU, Columbia International University, where I got my seminary degree. Now, he was gifted, folks. I'm not saying that all of us can do this, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But he was gifted. I mean, even the other professors would note him as being a gifted evangelist. He had been a missionary in India. He taught missionary-related subjects at CIU. I sat under him. But other professors say, we would meet downtown for dinner, the professors and their wives, and we would look for this man. We couldn't find him anywhere. We'd find him out on the street, sitting on a bench, talking to some random stranger about the kingdom of God. So that's how he was wired. That's how he was gifted. All of us aren't gifted that way, okay? That's not the point I'm going to ready to make here. He actually took it upon himself. He would go to where the sinners hung out. So you would see him coming out of a bar. You would see him coming out of other places that the church, the Pharisees, would look at and say, why is this man coming out of a bar? Why was this man found in this certain place? But the purpose he went there is because that's where the harvest was. And he wanted to take Jesus at his word, that Jesus was capable of changing the life of even the most profound and noted sinner among us. And so he went there because he loved his Lord, because he felt the same love for Jesus that this woman felt here, and because he felt that's what the Lord wanted him to do. Now, all of us can't do that. If you feel compelled that that's what you want the Lord to do in your life, then you really need to be down on your knees. You really need to be strengthening yourself for what you feel like the Lord is calling you to do, because it is easy for us to go into a certain situation with an attitude of, I'm going to project the kingdom of God. But if we're not careful in our desire to make those around us comfortable enough to talk about the kingdom, that we don't allow the world, if you will, to overcome us, that we don't fall into the same sin of those that we're trying to rescue out of that sin. So there's a caution there for most of us normal folks, that we don't get swept up in the very same thing that we're trying to help people get out of. Watch over your mind. Watch over your heart, because evil is very persuasive. Okay? Rabbit trail. Jesus sees what's going on here, and so he tells a tale of two sinners. Both of them owed an amount of money, roughly equivalent to a day's wages. One of them owed considerably more than the other. The person who held their debt just said, "I just forgive both of you." And so the question posed then, who had the most love in his heart? Pharisee answered correctly, the one of whom more was forgiven. That tale of two sinners sets up the contrast between the woman and the Pharisee here. One recognized her sin, and one hid behind his religion. I've told you this many times, in this Bible Belt area, we're filled with Pharisees. In this Bible Belt area, we're filled with Pharisees. Because our religion is something that we hold up to the world. Our church attendance is something that we hold up to the world. Our knowledge of Scripture, perhaps, is something that we hold up to the world. And we're so filled with holding this facade up to the world of our religion that we fail to address the heart of the matter. People are going to criticize. Yes, I understand that. I hear that coming out of some hearts before I even say what I'm getting ready to say. People are going to say what they say. Yes, I understand that. But and I'm not talking about union in particular, but is the church, the way that we approach the world, are we in fact confirming in the minds of some that we are hypocritical in how we approach life? Are we one way in church and another way out of church? Now you'll have to answer that for yourself. Is the way that I treat people outside of this church building the same way that I treat people inside of it? Jesus called the Pharisees a whited sepulchre, King James Version. In other words, it was a tombstone that gleamed on the outside, a mausoleum that gleamed on the outside, but he said inside it's full of death and dying. I told you that story of the dentist that told me one day about how people focus on their front teeth and they want to get their front teeth so nice and white that they fail to pay the attention that they need to on their molars, the teeth that do the most work when we're eating. And he said, the front teeth look gleaming white, but back here there's decay and stuff going on that doesn't need to be because they're so focused on how they project that gleaming white smile to the world. And if the church isn't careful, we can fall into that same type of thinking where we want to put so much emphasis on the outside, but we fail to take care of the inside. This is the contrast that this story is bringing here. The love for Jesus that this woman has was shown in her brokenness. The love for Jesus this woman had was shown in the emotion that she poured out, where she took the scriptural glory that she had of her hair and she was so concerned about his feet and that she wiped those rivulets of mud there with her own hair. This is that type of love, that type of brokenness, that type of appreciation, contrasted with the Pharisees. Okay, Jesus, I'll invite you into my house here, but I want to kind of check you out. I want to kind of see what kind of person you are before I get too close to you. Yeah, there's something going on with you. I see that. You've healed people. I can't explain that. I've heard your words. Yeah, they're deep words. But I don't really know who you are. You might be trying to hurt me. You might want to make me change the way that I see the world. You might make me want to change the way that I see people. You might make me want to change the way that I treat people, the way that I look at everything in my life. You might want to make change to me. So I'm going to check you out first. Because I don't want to change. I'm happy with who I am. I hope this doesn't apply to anybody. But my granddaddy laid the foundation for this church. My grandmother gave the hymnals for this church. I've taught Sunday school for 30 years. My grandfather was a preacher. I know the Ten Commandments. I can actually tell them to you. I can repeat the 23rd Psalm. So I think I'm okay. And Jesus is sitting there reminding us that in that day, those who call me Lord, Lord, but their heart was never mine, that they'll be sent out of the kingdom. And so what this story is reminding us, folks, is what Scripture says too. Psalm 51. David calls out to his Lord and said, if you wanted sacrifices, I would have given them to you. But you don't want sacrifices. What is the sacrifice that the Lord is happy with? A broken and contrite heart. Because it is the heart that Jesus is concerned with. Because it is the heart that will make its way out to how we act, how we perceive, how we speak, how we conduct our affairs. It is the heart that has to be changed. It is the heart that has to be reached. And some of us have that facade of righteousness so deeply ingrained around us that we're like this Pharisee, and it's like a stone sepulcher where it has got a chisel through it. But you know what? Spirit's got a mighty jackhammer. There's not a stone too hard. And the Spirit can reach that heart of stone. Chisel through that facade. And we already know that Scripture says dry bones can live again. And so that's what I call you to today. To look deep inside of yourself. Am I like this Pharisee? Or am I like this woman? Has the change Jesus wrought in me brought me to the place that I feel this love for Him? Or am I still trying to keep Him at arm's length, checking Him out, asking Him what He's going to make me change before I decide I'm going to surrender my all to Him? That's the question that I want you to go home and pray about as I pray for you. Father, we just thank You this day that You have given to us the power of Your Spirit, the grace of the cross of Christ, and the fellowship of Your Holy Spirit. Father, may You use all of those mightily in our lives, that we may not be like those who, portrayed by this Pharisee, hold contempt, but may we show Your love. May we have the discernment, Father, to be as you warned your disciples, to be as gracious and gentle as doves, but as wily as serpents. May we know those places that you would have us to go. And may we be kept from those places that you know are dangerous to us. Father, may we be willing to go, even when it may make us uncomfortable, to carry your word, to portray your kingdom, to be the men and women of God that you would have us to be. Father, may that be our heart's desire, that we can come to Jesus with this appreciation that this woman showed, that her public sin now was being, the forgiveness of her public sin now was being expressed in a very public display of emotion to her Savior and Lord. May in the privacy of our hearts, Father, our hearts be broken. Our emotion come at the feet of Jesus and lay our sins there. May the love for him be expressed in the way that we love him and serve him. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.